on SEN, the Captain's Run with Kane Corns.
Yeah, if you're just joining in this morning and tuning into us, I should say it's 3 minutes past 10 o'clock. It's 27 to 10 if you're on SENSA in Adelaide. The first hour dominated by the Christian Petrarca news, which dropped on Wednesday. A seven-year extension taking him through until the end of 2029. He'll be 33, was already contracted until the end of next year. And I was critical of what may happen, similarly what happened at Collingwood, in the coming years. So I thought, who better to get on and give us an expert view on it? Because don't take my word for it. Matty Rendell joins me. He's been there, he's done that, he's put these deals together. Matty, thanks for your time, mate.
No worries, Kane. Pleasure, Marty. I don't know about that expert stuff, but I'll give him my best.
So what I would be concerned about, and not a lot of people could have foreseen, or perhaps they could have, the Collingwood situation and the fallout for it and how dramatic has been. Melbourne have committed such a large portion of their cap to a small group of players. What happens when a Cozzy Pickett or a Luke Jackson or a Bailey Fritch comes out? There's not all that much to go around.
No, it's a very good point, Kane. Look, I assume right here, right now, that probably may leave a Gorn, probably their highest paid players in their club. They would know, I don't know off the top of my head how long they've got left on their contracts, but I assume their next contracts, they'll come down. They were well paid to get them out of their clubs, obviously Gold Coast and Adelaide with Lever and May. So they had to pay them well to get them out. So I assume their next contract, they come down, which allows Petrarca to go up and obviously leave some room for Jackson and Pickett are the two obvious ones. The problem with they've tied him away, but the problem with Jackson and Pickett is that they're interstaters, obviously WA and South Australia, and clubs there are going to come hard for them. So it's going to drive their price up if they want to stay. So that's something they're going to have to deal with then. But I suppose by the time they're commanding big dough, you know, Gorn and May and Lever will be, you know, way down the pecking order. So that's how you try and work your list, especially when you're in the window like they are to win a premiership. This year, you would assume for the next few years, because I can't see too many of their players retiring in the near future. Maybe Gorn's the oldest, is he? But I can't see too many of their players retiring in the near future. So they've got a window for quite a few years here. So they'll, it'll require some tricky management of their TPP salary cap, Kane.
Yeah, the other one's Oliver. So he's re-signed, but only a short term. So he's 2023. Viney, so 2025.
He's re-signed to take him to free agency.
Yep.
So, of course, if he keeps his form up, he goes to free agency. He's going to, you know, he's going to get offered quite a bit of dough elsewhere. So, I think Oliver's a bit easier to replace than Petrarca, right here, right now. Petrarca offers a lot more, certainly from an offensive point of view, I would have thought.
Forward, yeah. What was your initial reaction when you heard it? 7 years. It's basically eight. It's a long time. It's Dustin Martin. Yeah, well, it's Buddy Franklin-esque.
Yeah, same as Grundy's last year, really. He was seven, but he was only partway through his last year. So, look, let's go back a little bit. Alistair Lynch signed a 10-yearer.
That's right.
At Brisbane, and they tried to get him, they needed a big name up there, and so that was how they enticed him. I think it was about $175,000 a year for 10 years. Now, the first 2 years were diabolical because he had chronic fatigue and didn't play. So that was looking like a bust, but he ended up playing 9 years and plays in three flags, so it looked super. The Sydney situation is really different, so this is a really different market to everywhere else in Australia. And I think after the 80s, where they were hugely popular, they had a really bad patch, and then they get plugger into the team, and all of a sudden Sydney footy's kicked up again, and they must have realised then that we need a big, strong, high marking goal kicking forward for us to be popular in Sydney. So plugger comes and goes, they get Barry Hall from Saints, he comes and goes, they get Buddy from from Hawthorn. Yeah. So if you've been to a game there live, like I have, you would know that half the people who go to the footy in Sydney go to watch Buddy play. So his deal of $10 million or whatever it was over 9 years technically is unders, because I think he brings in $10 to $15 million a year in income into that club through sponsorship, membership, people through the gate and the like. So that's been, even though he hasn't played for the last 2 years, I think it's still been a bonus for him. The only issue with the Buddy contract is clearly they've back-ended the last 2 years heaps, Kane, because they couldn't get Hickey in without getting Alier out. And that's how tight they are on the cap. And I could only assume, when you look at their list profile, that Buddy's got to be on you know, at least $1.5 million in his last 2 years, which they back-ended. So but that's been a bonus for them. The Grundy one yet to be seen, but he doesn't miss. He plays every week. When players sign long-term contracts like that, Kane, I like to see him value add. And when I say value add, that's the Buddy value add. They bring people through the gate. They're excitement machines. And they bring in sponsorship and supporters want to be around them. Nothing against Grundy, but I don't think that's his go.
Yeah.
But it certainly is the Crackers and Buddies. And the other one, which is going to be coming up shortly, I'm sure there'll be plenty of talk on that, is Josh Kelly at GWS. You know, we're talking $8 million over 8 years.
Mm.
I'm not so sure that he value adds outside his great playing ability, Kane, and that's a worry for me. But I read yesterday that there's plenty of clubs interested in taking up the offer if GWS don't.
Yeah, that surprised me. He's not a, when you say value, he's not a Toby Green. He's not a bums on seats sort of heart and soul type of player like Toby Green is.
And they've got Whitfield there, and they've got Canelio on big money. Whitfield's obviously, and long-term Canelio. Whitfield, I'm not sure of his status, but he has to be well paid.
Mm,
but they've got a bit of an issue, I think, because Tom Green has been outstanding, and he's going to command big dough from them. And I'm worried that if they keep... Well, if you're a GWS supporter, that you do this deal with Kelly, where does it leave people like Tom Green coming through, Taranto and the like? So the other thing I was saying about Buddy too, don't forget how desperate they were to get Danaher to replace Buddy up in Sydney. So they understand where they're at there. So different market. But, the Josh Kelly one worries me from a GWS point of view about keeping some of their great young talent.
Let's get on to Collingwood, because big news yesterday, list manager Ned Guy is leaving now by his own accord, if you believe what you read, and he wanted to do that or told the club on the back of the trade period last year, so it's been in the works for a long time. What was your reaction to that news yesterday? Not surprising?
No, it wasn't surprising. I haven't spoken to anyone about it or anyone at Collingwood, but, it was a disaster, not of all his own making, the last... trade period. You know, that was a list management monumental stuff up, not only over 1 year but 2 or 3 years. Everyone has to take responsibility for that off the list management. He was trying to manage the outcome best he could. He didn't have many cards to deal with because everyone knew it was a fire sale. Ultimately, is he responsible? I think the footy manager's the one who's ultimately responsible. Risk manager does all the groundwork, really. So the footy manager signs off on TPP, salary cap type stuff, and has to sign off on trades and contracts as well. We heard Quarter come up and say that, you know, they disagreed with doing Grundy's contract, which is a bit surprising coming from the new president, but... but it wasn't surprising. Ned's background is in finance, and I think that's why they got him in to try and fix the TPP. It didn't quite work out that way. But my experience was that he didn't watch much footy. Look, people are coming into the club in recruiting list management. You have to love watching all sorts of footy. I know you're like me, Kane. You know, I watch AFL, BFL, I watch women's under-18s. I'll go to the local clubs and watch them play. Any grade of football, I'll go and watch. I don't think Ned was that keen on watching a lot of footy. And I thought, so from that point of view, I thought it was a really poor appointment by Jeff Walsh, to tell the truth. Mm. And no surprise it's ended up like it's ended up. The biggest problem for Collingwood is they've got one recruiter there, Derek Hine, still doing all the heavy lifting. I don't think there's anyone else there. You know, Adam Shepherd's gone, I've gone. Dom Malisi went to Bulldogs. So I don't know whether, obviously, Wrighty's got a great recruiting background, so he's all over that sort of stuff. But and the thing that might not be so damaging for him is that, you know, obviously Josh Dacos is probably, you know, it looks like he's going to go number one. So all their points are going to go for Josh Dacos. So they won't have any picks second, third round unless they do some manoeuvrings. And, you know, they're probably trying to pick a player or two right at the back end of the draft.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating to see the fallout from it. It's been extraordinary. We did foresee it, but perhaps not to this level during the trade radio period, which you were all over. Just a word on the game. Nathan Buckley confirmed that Darcy Moore will go back. Pretty disruptive for arguably their best player.
Well, actually, speaking about long-term, if there's a long-term contract I'd do it for Darcy Moore.
Is that right?
I'd do him a seven-year. He value adds Darcy Moore. People go and watch him play when he's at his best. Those first three games of the year, virtually favourite for the Brownlow. he's exciting whether he plays back or forward. You know, I think he can play forward in a better system. You know, even Pendle said he wouldn't like to play in our forward line. wasn't a good push, was it? look, he's well suited in defence. He really does shore him up. He can play talls and smalls. He looks spectacular. They really sucked all the goodness out of him, came moving him forward and then back and not quite know what to do. He looked completely lost last week, what to do. So, yeah, settling back, playing the rest of the year in defence, get that part right, try and see this year's gone and try and set up for next year with their defenders and get some unity back there. And look, next year, if they're obviously going to be on the lookout for a key forwarder, you won't be able to get one because their salary cap won't allow it. But, you know, if you can get a really good key back somewhere, they're normally a bit easier to get. Maybe you can push more forward again and ruck with Grundy. That's a great tandem, Moore and Grundy in the ruck. That'll cause massive headaches in the ruck and forward. So he's one I would do a seven-year for.
Well, there you go. Pies fans, do you agree? Let us know your thoughts on that. Join in. Hey, Matty, thanks so much for your time and your insights this morning.
No worries, Kane. Pleasure, mate.
And if you're listening to us in Adelaide on SENSA, Footy SA is back this Sunday. It's on Channel 9 in Adelaide, but also on SENSA. You can download the SEN app. That will be Matthew Rendell and myself wrapping up what is set to be a massive showdown. All thanks to our good friends at Sip and Safe. So tune in for that one. Lines available right now if you want to have your say. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Yesterday I said that Toby Green was a top five player in the game. As things happen, you talk for 2.5 hours every morning. Toby Green comes up and you sort of casually speak about it. And I said, yeah, I reckon he's a top five player in the game. Then the digital gurus put it on social media and everyone sort of loses their mind about it. They either agree or disagree. That's the way it sort of works. But I think he genuinely is a top five player in the game, isn't he? I'm not walking away from those comments yesterday. So it's not an easy exercise to do, but right now, if you're going to do it, the top five players in the game for me, Martin, Bontempelli, Petrarca, and people say, oh, you didn't want to give Petrarca a 9-year deal. No, I still take nothing away from his football. I think he's been unbelievable. So they're the three. And it's hard to do it when you've got injured players. Like, I think Dangerfield is a top five player in the game. So I've put him in there. I know he's injured, so recency bias, you lose it. But this time last year, what Dangerfield was doing on a footy field forward and the midfield was top five. So I've kept Dangerfield in there and Green, perhaps with the shout out to Max Gawn, who could replace Dangerfield if he had an injury clause in there. Let us know your top five players in the game, and is Toby Green at that level? I don't have a key position player in there, which disappoints me because it is dominated by the midfield, but such is the difficulty of playing that position. It's hard to get consistency in those roles. 80 minutes past 10. You can have your say. You can do it on the other side of this. Get involved. It's the Captain's Run on your home of sport.